Welcome to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. Join us in our campaign and shenanigans as we explore the subterranean labyrinths, plunder hordes of treasure, battle legendary monsters. This podcast will be following our gaming group and the adventures of these characters, as well as a few guests from time to time. Join us as we start a new campaign and our journey to experience the best, and maybe the worst, in the 5th edition of Dungeons & Dragons.
Down in the depths of the mountain, we dwarves spend our time forging powerful weapons, mining precious gems and metals, and feasting like kings. But after a day of digging for the next Arkenstone, this dwarf likes to come home to a package full of loot. Dungeon Crate is a monthly subscription box service forged specifically for RPG and tabletop gamers. Miniatures, dice, tokens, coins, maps, modules, terrain pieces, handcrafted items, RPG jewelry, and more are yours for only a few gold per month. You even get a digital crate along with a physical one as an added bonus. So are you brave enough to reward yourself with a Dungeon Crate? By Morden's beard, I hope so. DungeonCrate.com. Let the adventure begin.
Okay, so welcome back to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. It has been a while. We've survived the holidays. We have mostly made it to
intact.
The end. Yes.
I'm not all eaten. Am I?
So we're back to Princes of the Apocalypse. You guys were going through the thing to get to the thing, which, by the way, I would like to point out to you guys, the reason why we're having that conundrum of Feather Gate Spire and Feather Gale is because I'm thinking you have a typo in the map, because that clearly says what?
It says...
Can you point anything at the top?
Feather Gate. The map says
and
Feather
that
Gate.
Clearly says what?
Feather Gale. It does, you're right.
So I think there was a typo in the map, because everything in the book says Gale, except the map.
Okay.
Nice.
So that would explain that the questions that we received on that one, because everybody's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I was basically working on most stuff off this map.
So you found a typo
yes.
in the map.
So there's a typo in the map.
Well, you know, even Wizards of the Coast can occasionally be wrong.
Okay, well, I'll have you know, for the longest time in World of Warcraft, Mists of Pandaria, the gate to Orgrimmar was spelled Ogrimmar. It was. They finally fixed it, but
that's part
I was
of
like,
the
have
joy.
I been pronouncing it wrong all these years?
Wizards of the Coast making mistakes? Never. 3.0 silence, what?
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh, I hated that.
Later, that's a whole episode.
That's a whole episode. We should get some drinks and have that episode.
Yes.
Rice.
That never existed in my games.
No.
You were not allowed psionics, period.
You know,
it got better.
Right.
It would have to, right?
Because, you know, when you're on a floor or bedrock, one of the two.
You could always blast a hole and go deeper.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, they stopped before they did that.
That's right.
You're already 6 feet under. Don't keep digging that hole.
You can stop digging and lay down and rest. Okay, so you guys were...
You'll have to tell me because I wasn't there.
You were in the Sign Valley. There was an issue of the Griffin, and then the Ranger took off, and then the Ranger kind of came back, but then she really didn't. It was all a dream.
Yeah.
And then you guys caught up to the Ranger's trail. You fought some gnolls. There was some...
Apparently, the gnolls took a piece out of you that one time.
That one time.
They must have fought
one time at Ranger Camp.
The group has found Talon's bow and what they believe is Talon's finger.
I've lost a finger!
You don't show up to game, this is what happens to you. But it gets
bastards.
Worse.
It gets worse.
It gets worse. Because then, after the group spent some time interrogating a gnoll, and finally they let the gnoll go, they then were starting to camp for the night, and then some things happened, and there were some attacks during the resting period, and the group kind of split apart.
Elder!
And unfortunately, the barbarian and the druid stayed behind to defend the griffin, because the griffin that was in the cave, remember the wounded griffin?
Yeah, the one with the eggs.
No, the one that the druid definitely wants to make sure survives, because it's crippled.
Yeah.
The group split off, so half the group went to take care of the griffin.
It's not crippled, we healed it.
Well, no, the wound was still crippled. It couldn't fly.
But still, it wasn't crippled.
It needed just to heal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, Sister Solace, thank you for cutting the words. Okay, so the rest of the group is moving on to Feather Gale Spire, which we will now say is Gale Spire.
Feather Gale. Gale.
Okay.
Of course, depends on your accent. It really doesn't matter. Feather Gale.
It's true. It's all in the accents.
Palor,
so,
palor, pal. Tomato, tomato.
So as you guys are heading to the north in the Sighing Valley, you actually come across the ranger who's been in hiding, like a little quail hiding in the brush.
What? Why am I, like, some sort of coward?
No.
Against the war band of gnolls.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like,
I was being stealthy.
Right. Besides, remember, you broke your bow. Remember?
No.
That natural one?
Yeah, that's why we have your bow.
We gotta fix that.
Yeah.
How do we fix that? You keep extra bow strings.
Do you have any skills which you could do some repairs?
Ranger worth their salt has multiple bow strings.
That's right.
But not when she's being chased by a war band of gnolls.
Okay. I'm being stealthy.
So as you guys have only gotten a slight short rest. You guys are heading into, and all of a sudden, Ranger, you hear a large group coming past you from your hiding spot.
Okay, and I'll remain hidden, thinking it might be the gnolls again.
Until all of a sudden, one of them makes commotion.
Goodness! I think I dropped a jug.
My friends!
Did
you see the war party of gnolls?
Yes.
What?
We
saw some gnolls, but not a whole war party. It must have been a scouting party we found.
I regret that I could not return to you.
But you're here. Do you have all your fingers? Otherwise, we've got a spare.
I do have all my fingers. Whose finger do you have?
Well, probably some other or half of that.
That's so creepy.
I guess it's a one-finger discount.
Ew.
Give her the finger.
I'll pass, thanks.
Just push it back in my traveling bag.
Who knows? Maybe some necromancer will want one of his spells.
Some people like that sort of thing for jewelry.
No, most in the movie Hocus Pocus, Dead Man's Toe! Dead Man's Toe!
No, most people need an extra hand.
I guess you can give someone to come hither.
That's done with the eyes.
No, it's the...
That's a beckoning.
Okay. So you guys are basically heading north in the Sighing Valley. Are you finding a ranger? You've rejoined your friends?
Yes.
What do you tell them?
I was attacked by gnolls. It was a very cold night out here in the bush.
Are you hungry?
No, I had my rations.
Her attempt to hunt was null and void.
Oh! Oh! Bastard.
Well, we've left our friends back the griffin to take care of it and to make sure it gets its food and things. So it's just us wee, happy, merry four.
Okay,
so you guys basically camping for the night so you can get healed up, long rest.
Yes.
The ranger is going to roll a d20 to attempt to repair her bow. She just needs higher than 10. And she can just throw that dice right at Jocelyn and get a... What is it?
I would be a one there.
Seriously, you can't do this to me.
I did nothing. The dice did it all.
What dice? There's no dice. I see no dice. That dice is gone.
So the ranger's attempting to repair her bow, and all of a sudden, as she gets her new bowstring... That was a single digit, too.
I know.
And she attempts to get the new bowstring, and she bends her bow staff. And
the big, scary Sister Solace comes over with a 14 to help hold the darn thing down.
It's too late. Yeah. And the bow itself snaps.
Oh. No! Oh. You broke my bow!
You broke your bow!
That's not...
You rolled a one! Wow. A one!
You rolled a one after rolling a one.
You're telling me I have to do short swords now?
Guess what?
So you find someone with a long bow and kill them.
I'm sure we can find someone who has an extra long bow.
I'm sure we can raid some gnolls.
Rice.
Okay.
We'll just go be murder hobos.
Well, we're good at that.
We'll kill people until we get
trouble. How about I give you my... I will give you my crossbow in the meantime. For you, well, if you want, right?
Yes, I have a crossbow. I will be happy.
Pretty much everything would be the same except for the damage.
Yes, 1d8.
And you have to reload.
Right.
You may want to write this
Pillar
down.
Provides.
Well, longbows are 1d8 too.
Yeah. Oh.
Pillar provides.
Pillar
oh,
provides a
Pelor.
Made in Church of Pelor.
Considering how my dexterity is.
Does my dexterity bonus still apply?
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Okay.
You just have to take extra time to reload.
Yep. So
I don't remember what it is.
Don't bother moving and just reload your crossbow. You have the player's handbook right there if you want to look at the crossbows.
No, I'm just checking my attack bonus. My attack bonus stays the same as well.
Yep. But look up crossbows while we're continuing on. Okay, so you guys take your rest. You guys wake up with the ranger crying over her broken bow.
Crying?
Sister Solace.
Cursing, more like.
Sister Solace is providing solace and a bow.
Yeah,
crossbow.
Well, crossbow, yeah.
I mean, it will shoot things with a great force.
Well, I'm just going to have to be all tanky.
Flamboyant.
I got my two short swords.
Then you can fight with your short swords. Okay, so you guys are heading to the spire?
Indeed. Still, yes.
Okay.
With as much stealth as we can somehow muster, I believe.
Okay, so who do you think has the best stealth out of the group?
That would not be I.
My stealth is +4.
That's going to be the ranger.
Okay, we'll let the ranger do a stealth roll for the group to see
yes,
how low of a profile you take.
Can I assist her?
Is it
possible?
Let Carrie, don't roll. Let her roll to assist you first. Carrie, you're rolling at disadvantage.
So sorry.
Yeah. I'm already a sucky roller to begin with.
I apologize. I was not expecting.
She was drinking.
Well,
too
believe
much.
It or not, my lowest is a 15, but with my dexterity,
plus four,
so it's a 19. Woo yeah!
So even though the monk was sitting there jugging and singing singing raunchy dwarven drinking songs.
Body. Oh, and then she rode on a donkey, and then she got the broom, and it was all over when he went to the moon.
Riona, I think that might work in the city, but out here, you need to sound more like a canary.
Oh, what does a canary sound like again?
I'm used to mine.
Thankfully, in the sighing valley with the wind blowing like it is, it's blowing from the north to the south, so it's covering up her songs.
But the gnolls heard you.
Hey, this might work to our disadvantage. Let's give the gnoll story
for the Yeah, really?
So as you guys are getting closer to the north part of the valley, you realize that the spire that's there, it has a bridge that goes from the top of the valley to the spire. So at some point, you guys are going to have to climb out of the valley.
Or we could climb
the spire itself.
I would highly recommend that
we take the bridge.
Yes.
There actually is, up ahead, you see that there's a switchback, the trail going up the thing. But you would be blatantly in the view of anyone that's looking in this direction.
Unless we go in the cloak of darkness.
I think that's the right idea.
I think that's how we have been moving.
The switchback would be watched. Period.
We'd have to go
without
that's
light.
That's
what I would do.
Yeah.
Well,
basically, from the far distance, when you look, you can see here's the plateau and the little bridge going to the spire.
And you're dragonborn.
Yes, but I don't have dark vision.
Okay, so you're the only one that can't see.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we put him in the middle.
Yeah.
We tie him to one of us.
Exactly.
And we go in the dark.
And if we get attacked, I will just light him up. I am, the god of light.
Well,
so, does anyone have a Holocaust cloak? Just perfect.
It fit me so nice.
We might want to ditch the metal armor.
Well, we need the wheelbarrow.
So. Oh, we do. Oh, well, you know, I left a wheelbarrow.
Only we had a wheelbarrow.
Why did you list that among assets?
If it's not in your character sheet, you didn't bring it.
Next time, always add a Holocaust cloak.
And a wheelbarrow.
And a lightsaber.
And a brute squad.
And a brute squad.
You are the brute squad.
He is the brute squad.
I run out of juice eventually.
Okay, so you guys are waiting for the cover of darkness to go up the switchback?
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Okay, so go ahead and give me a stealth roll with advantage.
Oh, is she rolling for us?
Are you gonna assist?
I'm gonna try. Ah, 17!
Okay, well, you still have advantage then.
Alright.
18 plus 4, so 22!
So this dice likes me better today. We'll use that one.
You guys are very quiet going up the switchback. You're very careful. You're going.
Cat like tread upon the primitive steel in silence spread.
I can't remember
the sound at all. We never speak a word. A fly's foot board in the sea. We heard tread draw.
It's good. We need to scratch that for the parade.
The pirates of Sundance.
So are you guys going to try to take the place at night, or are you going to wait till daylight?
Kimala might be out on a hunt during the day.
Are hippogriffs nocturnal?
I don't believe so. I mean,
they're diurnal, so yeah. Let's do it again.
Pretty much almost everything that flies except bats is
And owls.
Yeah.
Right. So does that include owl bears?
Nightingale.
Owl bear. Oh,
that was the thing. I was gonna ask, like, what's an owl bear then? Diurnal?
Does it hibernate in the winter?
I don't know.
It's vicious.
I have questions.
So many questions. How did it happen?
Is it birthed or is it hatched?
That's true.
So
I think it's hatched because otherwise that would be painful.
that would suck.
Yeah, terrible. All right.
Okay, so let's do a little retcon here, because we didn't do any who we are and all that good stuff. So let's go around the table introducing ourselves, since we're doing that late. We're out of practice. Did we do it?
No, we didn't.
I thought you kind of did it.
I kind of did it earlier. Yeah, let's go ahead and do it.
I'm Jazz playing Crib the Dragonborn.
I'm Jocelyn playing Riona O'Took, a monk.
I'm Carrie, I'm playing Talon of the Hidden Forest Tribe. I'm a half-elf ranger.
I'm Kelly, I am playing Sister Solis, the tiefling cleric of the god Pillar.
Okay, and as we're getting this little retcon, little montage of everybody in the introductions, as the dying rays of light, while you were hiding, waiting for darkness, you see that Feathergale's spire rises from a pillar of rock high into the air, the tallest point for miles. Built from white limestone and embellished in marble, the spire resembles a gleaming sword that pierces the sky.
It shines like alabaster.
Sounds like someone's compensating for something.
Good points.
Why is it always got to be that, what you mean? The gatehouse faces the opposite cliff, its drawbridge the only apparent point of entry. Tall, wide windows encompass the bottom level of the tower, absent only upon the gatehouse side. A circle of large stalls rings the tower's foundation where it meets the rock. Above each stall, the sculpture of a hippogriff in flight leaps from the tower's base. Beneath Feathergale's spire to the east, a wide, gusty canyon yawns through the hills.
Yawning and sighing? Wow.
It's a busy canyon.
It depends on if it's a low pressure or high pressure.
Let's
just hope it doesn't break
wind. The tower is breaking wind around it, so, you know.
Okay.
Just put a nose plug on.
Okay, so who's got dark vision in the group?
I do.
Whoa.
That's three people raising their hands.
Okay, everyone but the dragonborn. He's like, I don't need this. I got magic to see. Mm-hmm. I don't need evolution. I have magic.
We're just going to sandwich him in
okay.
between the three of
so
us.
So what is the distance on your guys' night vision? Dark vision.
Oh, I don't know.
Typically, it's 60 feet.
60. I'm assuming that's what I have to.
Okay, so you guys are pretty much reconnoitering off what you recall from the daylight hours, because 60 feet's really not that far if you think about it.
Is there any moonlight?
This is actually the night of new moon.
Ooh. Especially for sneaking.
Mm-hmm. Right. How do you think she had advantage on that sneak?
That's very
new
good.
Moon, huh?
New moon.
Yeah. So Cutter and he's the quest.
New moon?
Boo.
That's a sore.
Okay, so you guys are sneaking up to the drawbridge. Okay.
It's kind of out there. Do you think we should try and like...
You clearly see that there is someone in scale mail on watch at the other end of the drawbridge.
Is there a torch?
There is a pair of torches hanging off the drawbridge.
Well, that means they can't see in the dark.
Well, likely. But there's also likely more than 60 feet between the start of the drawbridge and the tower.
Yeah.
Well, is there any way we could blow out the torches?
I was just going to say, all this wind...
You would have to... they're the nice big armored sconces. But you guys would have to cross the drawbridge to do that.
So there's not torches at our end.
There are torches at your end before you get there.
But we could put those out.
You try sneaking up and extinguishing them.
And then, that will be startling for the person watching the drawbridge.
Who will probably sound an alarm.
Or he might be moved to come and see why the torches went out.
Okay, so are you guys going to try to do?
I don't know, I'm thinking we should have climbed this tower, but...
Oh,
this from all the natural ones you've been rolling?
I know, I'll kill us all.
She lost more than a finger this time.
This time it cost her an arm and a leg.
Here's an idea, what if we could if we get those lights go out and stuff like that, if nobody comes over and they're all... But what if tied a rope to... How long's the bridge?
It is about a 100-foot bridge, with the last 20 feet being a drawbridge.
All right.
We don't have rope that's longer than that.
Let me see. Do we?
Well, that's a lot of rope.
It is.
Because if we could tie a rope to one of us... So that we don't fall.
I can dim them for 1 minute.
All right.
But that can only dim them.
Well, could one of us go and sneak up to her? It's just saunter over to the...
So there's a watchtower?
The tower itself.
We need invisibility.
Somebody up is where?
Basically, someone is standing right here watch at the gate.
Oh, at the gate.
At the gate, yeah.
You think you can reach them?
With what?
Your crossbow.
I know for if I had the longbow, I could. I don't know what the distance is. Hold on, gotta look it up.
Because I'm assuming you guys have stopped before you've gotten into the light.
Oh,
yeah.
Since you're stealthing.
We're stealthing.
We gotta find the distance.
It's at least 80 feet, but
one of us might be able to go and speak with the gentleman at the gate and engage him in witty repartee, I'm just a wee lost monk and. Would you like a drink from my jug? Sort of thing. Acting as a distraction, as it were.
Okay.
As a distraction is good, what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That one's as good as the one I was going to do.
But how would we sneak up if we have to cross the bridge too?
She doesn't have to sneak up.
I'm not.
She
I'm
can just be a wary traveler.
She just tosses them over and we run up.
There you go.
She has no. She only has a wooden spoon in her hand. It's not like she's a weapon.
Threat.
She's not carrying a weapon.
No, I'm so harmless. And so, at worst, I'll have to toss him over the cliff. At best, she'll shoot him in the head. And you can also dim the lights.
Okay.
Torches.
Before you do it, I'm going to cast guidance on you.
All right.
Okay.
Guidance, it will add a d4, to one of your ability check of your choice.
So, all persuasion.
Yeah. as you catch him on the
wall.
And apparently you can roll the die before or after making the ability check.
I could also be the wary traveler.
It's only 80 feet the range of the crossbow.
And if I had to talk somebody into buying a bridge to nowhere, I probably could.
Well, my persuasion is +3.
Mine's 5.
Right, he is more persuasive.
It's the dragon thing.
Right.
It's not. Doesn't happen to be a two-handed one.
Do you want
it? The crossbow?
Yeah.
Is it sweet? The which one's 1d8?
It doesn't specify here.
Look at the damage carry.
Because ammunition range is range 80.
It's gonna be a regular crossbow.
320.
Okay.
It's gonna be the
said loading two-handed.
Well,
no,
that's it telling you it's a two-handed crossbow. Yes, Carrie,
okay.
that's exactly what you're looking at.
Range, 80/320.
So range increments of 80, the slash is the maximum range.
Yeah.
So I can reach it.
Yeah, you could in theory.
So he's the more persuasive of the two of us. You should cast guidance on him.
Okay.
And he'll go and be the weary traveler. And dim the lights. I can sneak up.
I saw your light, man.
And if he needs assistance, then I'll whack it on the head with my ladle, and you can shoot it in the head with your bow.
Here's hoping.
Alright.
Don't break this one.
Don't break it, and don't shoot anyone. That isn't the bad guy.
Well, that would be grand.
It'd be great if I was, trying to talk this guy up and I get an arrow in the head.
Whoops.
That'd be one hell of a distraction.
I'm sorry. I've only shot people.
There are bandits! Please let me in! Oh, see, they're shooting at me even now!
We can make it work.
Yes.
Because I'm gonna do it in the darkness.
Right. I'm gonna shoot the darkness.
So, is that a good plan? That seems a
massive. That seems to be a very good plan.
Alright, I'm gonna cast guidance on.
Criff.
Okay. See you. They don't give you a guiding light.
He is the light.
Okay, so you two are doing the nonchalant walking out of the darkness onto the bridge?
Right, yes.
Okay.
He's chief persuader. And I'm
you're small enough, you could just follow behind him in the club.
She's not threatening.
I'm
not really threatening either, unless you consider all dragonborn threatening. And that's racist.
That is very racist. Or even species, I guess.
That's,
No,
it's the racist.
Yeah, it's racist.
It's
racist. It's like just because one guy belches fire in the party, everybody typecasts.
That is so unkind.
Okay, so as soon as you guys step onto the onto the bridge where the two sconces of fire light you up, all of a sudden the person on guard definitely steps forward to attention. Before it was like kind of like pulling their cloak up, keeping warm. Now it's like definitely has your attention, and you hear a female voice as the person waves her hand. You notice that there's a spear leaning against the gate and a longsword on her side. And now that she's stepped forward, you can definitely tell it's a female in scale armor.
Oh, nice.
And she says, "Ho, travelers."
Oh.
Hello.
What are you doing out in a night like this?
I've been traveling for a while, headed towards.
Red Larch.
Red Larch.
As a voice in the darkness shoots out Red Larch.
Red Larch! On a character, couldn't remember the name.
It's okay.
We were hoping we could have a warmer stay.
There have been quite a few unsavory creatures out.
Yes.
And it's just not safe. I mean,
tell
them about the gnolls.
Gnolls everywhere.
Oh, this valley is littered with the furry beast men. Welcome to Feathergale Spire. All visitors are always welcome to the Knight's Order of the Feathergale.
Oh, well, then let's all do it.
Well, you're very generous. I haven't heard about the Knights of the Order of Feathergale before.
Allow me to bring you into the Master of the Spire, and he will explain and offer you the hospitality of the Spire.
Oh, grand. You can sneak in after we go in.
That's right.
Shouting out to the darkness.
Apparently, Oktuk is now telepathic.
Oh, shit.
Shooting monk hand signals behind her back.
That would be wonderful.
Like,
perhaps
obviously
in the morning,
she's not threatening.
I'm very tired.
I say that we just go.
Yeah, like, oh wait, there's more in my
party. I'd rather
What do you guys do?
She's actually bumping on the door.
I guess we're going to go in with her because, you know.
One moment. We have our wagon, our entourage back there. We didn't want to approach with weapons. We didn't want to alarm anyone, but we are very tired and would like some rest.
By all means, bring whoever else. And of course, when you say that, she's kind of eyeing the darkness, like, what's out there? Slightly suspicious and all.
He's like, and I will come forward.
May being as, you know, like, in my, as clerical as possible.
Clerical and demon-y.
Like, I will light my torch, my mace with the, you know, to a little glow. It's like, by Pelor, thank goodness you can, you know, we have a little approach.
Okay. Sack.
Like, Pelor's blessing upon you.
And
for your kindness in offering us refuge.
Okay, you hear someone's moving, of course, the bar that holds the door shut. But she's definitely got her hand on her longsword. It just cautionarily, it's not like she's drawing it. She's got, you know, it's the cop thing, you know, the cop on his gun and hand and a sidearm. Of the whole... There's people popping up out of the dark missing groups.
We have already lost two members of our party. We thank you for your kindness.
Indeed, the gnolls have been a terror. And you can see we're not really prepared for this sort of thing.
Because we look pretty damn ragged.
We're mere religious pilgrims. It's been terrible.
Okay, door opens up, loud creak. As you notice two other people similarly dressed in the same outfit. Their armor has, you know, swirl patterns into it, it seems. Lots of feathery shapes. And she basically leans her head kind of towards the doorway and starts whispering something, trying not to be heard.
Mm-hmm. What is she saying?
Yeah, so can you hear it?
Natural
20!
And a friggin' 17.
Uh-huh.
Without the pluses.
With an unnatural 20.
And an unnatural 20. Criminy.
They heard everything.
But at least a few words. One hopes.
She basically, you hear her address the two people on the other side as initiates. And that, to let Thurl know that we have guests here. And she believes supper hasn't been served yet, and she'll have them sent up.
Remind me, what are we doing here?
And you hear the pitter-patter of one of the armored gentlemen taking off rather quickly.
We know from the previous people that we interrogated that...
this is
involved.
One of the temples.
Yeah.
Because
they're
bad people.
The earth guys that we ran into, that one guy that we kept alive. On top of that, at the scene where
they massacred the poor dwarves,
yes.
We had ascertained that
they were working in cahoots.
That
right?
Winged, you know, attackers were involved.
Oh, wait.
That's one of the assumptions you guys are working on.
Yeah,
that's because they should remember.
But we interrogate that, and we sent him back with the trapper to the town
of
Red March to face justice there.
From the priest, that's right.
Yes.
It will be some stone shackles.
Yes. Okay, so, and she then tells the other initiate to take her place while she takes you two up to the
and
tower.
And hold it, was it one of the bodies that we uncovered? Had feathers and stuff on it?
Yep.
Does the uniform match?
It does look very similar, yes.
It wasn't, so that's why.
It's not an exact match to what these guys are wearing, but it does look very similar.
So
the one that was buried is probably higher.
Yeah, our pilgrimage included. Oh, our two friends that went before us.
Race.
Okay, so she pleasantly introduces herself. My name is Savra. I'm from Waterdeep.
Oh,
I've been to Waterdeep.
This is such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you. Our knightly order is actually the master of our order was started from one of the Griffin Riders of Waterdeep.
Oh,
that's impressive.
I am familiar with Waterdeep.
He was tired of the corruption of the caste system there and decided to bring the Knightly Order out to this area to he discovered this spire long ago. And it's perfectly well suited to our purposes for our riders.
And what
it's amazing
is the
that,
purpose?
It might, that it was empty.
It was,
I mean,
it was
quite
like
this. It stands out quite a bit. We saw it for miles.
It's been empty for a long time. Apparently the Manticore, we think, may have been responsible for
Manticore?
Most of...
Who had it before?
We did
who
have...
built this, do you know?
We not actually uncovered who the originator of the spire was.
And where is the Manticore?
Well, we don't know either. I mean, we've heard its cries, but
well,
fortunately, it didn't haunt us.
Indeed, we just had the moles to deal with. Terrible,
mm-hmm.
terrible creatures.
Thankfully,
now, you're English now.
I have no idea what I am.
There you go.
She's undercover. She's pretending not to be Riona.
That's right.
She's random traveler. Well. The Manticore is usually only comes out when it needs to hunt, and we've been trying to catch the Manticore actually for many, many years.
Why catch it? We should kill the creature.
Well, that's what we intend to
it
do once
evil.
We catch it. Unfortunately, the Manticore is slippery prey, because even our best riders can't take it one-on-one.
They're vile, vile creatures with high intelligence.
Indeed, it's probably that intelligence that makes it so hard to catch.
Exactly. It's even set up ambushes where we think we found its lair, and we actually run into the gnolls instead.
Oh,
that's just some of
their
music, although it is
Wait.
Terrible.
So if it's that intelligence, maybe it's using the gnolls.
Could be. And she basically, escorts you guys to the tower. The tower is this pretty big tower, by the way. I'll give you a little thing here. It's about 80 feet wide at the base. And when she first takes you into the ground level area, you are treated to seeing the... Right at the base of the stairs is a giant eagle battering ram. Oh, sorry. Okay. And you notice that it's basically set up as a fortification. If anyone were to force their way in the door, this battering ram would take them out.
Uh-huh.
As well as possibly the stairs.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, basically... It looks really old design, but it looks like it's been recently repaired and back in service.
Are you preparing for siege?
Oh, no. These are just the defenses in case the spire was ever attacked.
Oh, so but you are well prepared, and with the Manticore and those gnolls out there, it makes great sense.
Yes. Unfortunately, with the Manticore out there, we've been trying to breed some riding animals in the down below level. And it's the Manticore's learned that he can feed off our mounts.
Oh, it's here.
So we have to always be prepared just in case.
Oh, I can see that. But I hope that there are no other trials and tribulations that face you here in this lovely valley.
Well, thankfully, since it has been about 10 years, we almost believe that we've maintained what we need here at the Spire.
Oh, that's remarkable accomplishment. You must be... very proud to be a member of this order fighting injustice and corruption.
And
it
protecting.
It's quite impressive. I didn't see any farms on the way up here.
Question out of game, just as a reminder.
Okay.
Since it's been longer for me than you guys.
Mm-hmm.
We know in Red Larch there's been natural, the things have been acting.
Droughts.
Has there been weather problems here too that we remember being told about, or should we be asking?
Well, we haven't really ran into any locals living
okay.
in this area.
All right.
It's,
okay.
This is out in the Badlands, basically.
Since we're headed to Red Larch, please don't bring up type of
exactly.
things we know about Red Larch.
Oh, I'm not going to. I'm just asking to see if there's any disturbances in nature.
Did you ask about that?
I'm going to.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's quite pleasant and honest. The weather has been horrible of late. The valley used to be green and lush, and it's now dried up to what you see before you.
Oh, it's here.
Hmm. Yeah, you would think with that river down there, it would be a lot more lush.
We just hope that we can keep the gnolls at bay so they don't spread from this valley to affect the nearby folk.
Oh, it's here.
That would be horrible.
Are there any communities nearby?
There's where you're traveling, which is Red Larch, is the nearest major community. There are a few little locations you can find. At this point, she's taking you to the spiral staircase and starts taking you up. You notice that you've passed about 5 or 6 other folks, pretty rough and tumble up types. A couple in robes, a couple in armor. And after the second level, you get taken up, and you see the great hall, and you see that there's a couple knights sitting at this big table and just breaking some bread and drinking some drink. And she hints, she gestures towards both of them. We have guests, my friends. And they kind of nod and, tilt their cups to you guys, and she continues you guys up. There are a few communities, but the commander will be able to tell you about those.
Oh, that's very kind.
Okay.
And who is the commander?
Oh, it was the TH name.
Yeah, but you're not supposed to know that yet. Yeah.
Well, she mentioned it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thurl.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, he'll explain everything that you guys need to know. So I hope you are hungry.
I'm hungry, but that will certainly help.
Okay.
Our hunting foray went poorly.
Oh, more gnolls.
Yes, all the challenges of the valley is what Priv says. Trying to curb what was leading into.
Okay, so finally you're taken to basically like a small office where she bangs on the door. You hear this very loud, "Come in!" She opens the door and she basically waves you guys in first. And you see a gray-haired gentleman, looks like maybe early 50s, but a very strong 50-year-old. He's wearing his full armor, sitting in this wide bench chair, and he's behind a desk. You just see like sheaves of paper and things scattered around him. Well met, my friends.
Indeed. Good day, Lord Thurl. We're travelers heading to Red Larch, and we were hoping we could take advantage of your hospitality. What was her name?
Savant.
Sevra has been friendly to us thus far, and it even has gone so far as to say that yes, we can, but wanted to introduce us to you. So,
okay, he smiles his nice big grin, gets up out of the chair. You can see he just kind of like stretches, been sitting too long, and he offers hand, shakes all of you guys' hands. Well met, my friend. So, what's brought you out to this godforsaken part of the country?
Well, word has had it that there's some weird weather out here. We were here to study it. We have, we had until the Knolls, some goods to trade in Red Larch too, but that purpose has gone down the drain.
Yes, and we had some dwarven friends
who came before us.
Yes.
That we're trying to,
merchants of better repute. So we're trying to catch up to them. We're trying to hit Red Larch. And frankly, it's all been so much more challenging than we thought it would be.
These are horrible times. I mean, and then he pulls out some sheaves of math and throws a map down on the table. And you see, this looks like a map that's about 10 years old.
There's no reaction to the dwarf comment, by the way.
Well, no. Not that he doesn't know anything about any dwarves. Okay. And he points to the map saying, this was what this valley used to look like. See this like lush little valley. Looks, if someone was very colorful with the paints and the colors on this map, and then he pulls out this hand-drawn inked map that looks like the river is a third of what it used to be. It's like most years ago, that river was rushing constantly, keeping the valley alive. But with the change in weather we've had here, it's pretty much dried the river up to almost nothing.
All the animals are desperate, which is part of the challenge
the
we face.
People and creatures are desperate.
Indeed.
True. Except for the beasts that we've captured and tamed. Pretty much all of the natural wildlife has died here.
Do you have any suspicions as to why the weather has become so, so confused?
That's something that we've been trying to find out. And gladly, if you have any information, I would be more than willing to discuss that during supper tonight. If you join us, by all means. Food should be served shortly.
Oh, you're very generous, my lord.
Yeah.
Can we have a moment to refresh before we join
you? Oh, of course. And pretty much he just raps on his desk real quick, and the door push immediately swings open as a little page comes running in. Take our guests here to two of the guest quarters. I'm sorry we don't have more to provide than that, but we can provide you with two rooms to use to refresh.
What you have given us is more than generous.
Okay, and he shouts out at the squire to find the page to find out when food would be ready, and basically in less than an hour the tables will be set.
guitar rooms.
Yep, takes you down to some little quaint little rooms.
Okay, so we're alone.
Are you guys all going to one room? Or are you two?
Well, we'll probably drop our packs in the separate rooms and then
convene
in one of them.
Okay.
All right. You know how in Red Larch, half the town didn't know what was happening, and then the other half did. What if that's the same thing here? What if there's like everyone else is trying to do, you know? What if there's a bad apple?
It's like, because I am not getting the impression of corruption from this man.
I agree.
He's sincere. We haven't done well. So did all of the elders in Red Larch, right?
No.
Oh, no. Red Larch, they all seem like asses to me, but then I don't really like, then my character really doesn't like anybody. But
which is why Kriv just smirks.
But you know, it's true that he does seem to be a fair and generous lord and to have concern for the land around here. So either
if he was really trying to, you know, they would have put the condition on us to remove our weapons, which they did not do.
Well, they're not, so they're not suspicious of us right now, that or they're confident.
I mean, we are in their tower full of soldiers.
Yes.
And battering rams and siege protection.
Right. Well, we don't have any siege weapons,
exactly.
Of course.
Well, it's
hubris is the purest form of darkness.
Well, indeed. And I don't know if it's hubris, or merely that he's not concerned, or that he's a very fine actor, as it were.
So, when we were facing the cult of the Dark Earth, the something Earth?
Black Earth.
Black Earth. You know, there were a bunch of the people they had on staff of various types, but they were all also part of the townsfolk, and none of them necessarily rung my alarms. So I think we should proceed with some caution here. It might take a bit to flush out what's bad, what's good.
And there, I mean, he may be a good actor. I mean, there was no reaction whatsoever to the mention of the dwarves.
Indeed.
I mean, I was almost afraid to tip our hand, but I really wanted to gauge his reaction.
Did we get out of character? Is there still? Oh, is it? Oh, it's insight. Okay, gotcha.
Right.
We're trying to read him later.
So perhaps we can, in course of introducing ourselves and talking, we should be looking around the table and seeing who reacts to what.
Right, and we just don't know, but we think that part of this cult of elemental evil might be located here at this tower.
Right, which is another thing of it. I mean,
one aspect of it.
Right.
Yeah. The cult had a secret hiding place, meeting place, that was kept from the rest of the town. Here, it's almost too little space for the cult to even exist.
Well, except we don't know how far down it goes, do we?
Yes,
this
they have
true.
Breeding programs with livestock, so it has to be much more encompassing than what we've seen.
My question about farms was also not addressed. I mean, they're familiar with Red Larks, but where are they getting their animal feed, and then where are they getting their own feed? So perhaps that's something that we might remark on, particularly if the feast is lavish.
Yes, we could be as we are portraying merchants, you know, in interest of furthering trade.
Price. And also surprise.
I think it might do well. Don't you have a merchant background?
Well, I believe I do. I'm a guild artisan.
Well,
so
yes,
perhaps
you're...
Perhaps I can play your advisor here.
I probably have a jug or two of something delightful that I could share.
Yes. It does have limits, though, right?
Oh, no, I mean, well, yes, I mean, that jug has limits, but then there's, like, my stash that I brought with me. You know.
For emergencies.
Right.
Okay.
I might be interested in what you have in that stash. It's the first time I've heard of it.
Well,
it's
know,
a secret stash.
You have your explorer's pack. I have my explorer's pack. Mine happens to have, you know, brewer's supplies and A bottle or two.
And her boyfriend may have added an extra bottle or two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
After drinking a bottle or two while they were at it.
But he did know that I was rather angry with him.
One for you, one to go. One for you, one to go.
Right. So there, that's all it is. It's just nothing that exciting.
Okay. So after you guys get a little more time to chat, there's a at the door.
Oh. Of course, answer it.
Okay, it's the page. He says, "Lords and ladies, supper is." And she, the page kind of looks around and notices that they're all hiding in one room.
Not hiding.
Discussing our business.
I've been sent to take you to the hall so you can enjoy supper.
Oh, you're
excellent.
So kind.
Thank
What's
you.
Your name, young sir?
Thomas.
Can we be passing off that I'm like super exhausted, like throughout this whole thing? Let me know if I need to roll.
Okay.
So, moving on.
Okay. So you're going to just play in general or wait till we get to the hall to be exhausted?
No, I've been... That's why my tone and everything has been so low.
Okay.
It's not always what Crib normally is.
You're
just
leaning heavily on the staff, you know?
Right, because
sort
when
of, I'm moving a little bit slower and of course the voice has dropped and... The cadence
Body
has
language.
Dropped.
Yeah. Okay. So as you guys are escorted out, you hear singing. There's some rowdy, fun songs going on.
I play the flute. You play the flute too, right?
The
mandolin. Or lyre.
Viola or something. Viola.
Yeah. Viola.
And as you guys come up this set of stairs, you just see that there's about 20, 22 people in this hall. There's a bunch of different big bench tables set up. And they're just having a good time, joking, laughing, having fun. The pages are serving everyone. And there's your page, Thomas, is taking you to the main table where the commander himself is sitting at. He's got two seat spots on each side of him. And then it looks like a lady that brought you in and a gentleman on the other side, the very end of the table.
This is very kind.
And all of a sudden, he basically wraps the table and the crowd starts calming down, getting quiet, and he proceeds to stand up. He's wearing his fine embossed feather pattern plates on his armor, full plate armor here, with his kingly cloak that boasts a feathered mantle. He smooths his white blonde beard in place and then bows exceptionally deeply to you all.
Wow.
Officially, welcome to Feathergale Spire, retreat of the Feathergale Society. I am Thul Morovska, the Lord Commander, and I welcome you to my table. I mean, we're talking, he bows super low. I mean, we're not talking just a nice bow. It's a full-blown, like a courtier would bow to the king bow. I mean, it's very humble, very welcoming. He's making sure you guys know that you are welcome at this place.
I'll curtsy in return in the most genteel, graceful fashion that I can.
Yeah.
Okay, and the ranger immediately grabs nuts off a platter that comes walking by.
Right.
All of a sudden, everyone's being all polite, and the ranger just grabs food off one of the platters.
Crib will get as low as he can, still playing the tired things. Thank you for your hospitality. Although, I must admit, I'm not sure I can pick myself off the floor if I'm too low. I'm very tired, my lord. Perhaps some food will perk me up.
Okay. So he basically, please, my friends, rest yourselves. You obviously had a long, tiring journey. And basically, as you guys sit down, I was just me rolling a roll.
Okay.
Don't be paranoid. I roll a d20 and you get
excited.
Of course.
I'm a paranoid gamer.
It came up as an 18, just so you know. Okay,
yeah,
and,
it does not bode
well. And basically, as soon as you sit down, platters of meat and fruit are dropped in front of you, and says, "Please, my friends, this food was shipped in just this morning for us. We have a fresh deer that the hunters caught."
Oh, that's very generous, my lords. Well, I've brought a wee gift for you and your men. See, I'm a brewer. And that's my trade. And I hope you'll accept this modest offering. I wish that it could be more grand in keeping with the beauty of your your beautiful tower and the generosity and the hospitality that you displayed.
And he grabs his goblet, takes it down in one draft, and gladly passes his goblet over to be filled up with your brew. And he smells it. Mmm. And is this your homebrew?
Indeed, it is, my lord.
Okay, I was asking out of character, but okay.
Oh! Yes, it's my homebrew!
And he drinks it. An excellent brew!
Thank you, my lord.
To guests?
To guests.
To the rules of hospitality?
Uh-oh. Paranoid gators.
May new guests be new friends.
To new friends.
May new friends be strong allies. That which is good for thine guest is good for thine host. And of course everyone's lifting up their horns and they all take a nice long drink.
School!
Okay, and basically party is beginning, everyone's having a good time. The lady who escorted you guys in asks, you know, are you a cleric of Aelor?
Yes, I am.
And she's basically just starts small talk with you about wanting to know about, you know, the Church of Paylor. She's not a believer in Paylor herself, but, you know, she had a cousin who went to the Church of Paylor.
Well, in Waterdeep?
Yes.
Do I know them?
Probably.
Roll me a d20. It is possible. You recall, yes, that name was actually used by someone that's there. You don't remember them in detail, but yes, they were one of the new initiates.
Just look at this. There was an alkali. I did not personally meet them, as the temple grounds were quite, and I was already starting towards my own pilgrimages in the service of Brother Varric. He was a very great man.
Yes, I wish to return back and see my cousin sometime soon, but our duties here and traveling abroad have kept me very busy.
When you travel abroad, how often do you travel abroad, and where do you go?
The Society of Weathergale, we are massive enthusiasts of flying beasts. One of the reasons why we enjoy this out here is the giant vultures that we breed down below are amazing mounts. You've never known true excitement until you have been on the back of a beast that flies for its own power, feeling the gales blasting through your hair, the wind hitting your face as you do aerial acrobatics.
Vultures, though, they're carrion eaters.
Kriv perks up it for a moment and goes, huh, I would have thought the hippogriffs would have been a better mount, or a more exhilarating mount.
As you see that, because you two would be on this side of the table and they're on this side of the table, the commander looks and says, you, sir, though you are weary of bones, are sharp with wisdom. My personal mount is a hippogriff, and I would definitely say any day that I would take a hippogriff over a vulture. But unfortunately, out here, we do have, you know, slim pickings over what mounts we can get.
Oh, of course.
The cursed manticore that exists out here has cut down our numbers of hippogriffs greatly. The beast, when we used to allow our hippogriffs to flock freely in the valley, used to pick them off one at a time.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens when there's intelligent hunters, unfortunately.
We've tried domesticating some of the griffins that lived the south, but unfortunately we've had no luck with that. Unfortunately, they're too close.
The shaman.
They're too close to the hippogriff. I mean, they're too close to the manticore that any of their cries summon it out for an easy meal.
Oh,
I would think not so easy. I thought griffins were pretty tough.
Oh, yes, they are, which is why they can't be captured so easily.
Indeed.
And pretty much, you know, small talk continues, dinner's going on, everything's going great, music's being played, a couple people are pulling out instruments themselves, playing a little...
Looking around the tables.
You guys are musicians, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. does it look like everybody's got a portion of... Kind of what's at the main table?
Yeah. It looks like even chairs for everybody. It's not like anyone's getting just the scraps.
Gotcha.
Even the pages are over in the corner, like, you know, they got little stool tables and they're eating from their table really quick while nobody needs them. Doesn't look like anyone's a servant class or anything. It's just that they're pages. They got to earn their jobs.
Yeah.
know, I was wondering about that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's getting a fair share. You see the pages have some fruits and vegetables and things.
Does anybody seem to be specifically watching the Lord's table while we're at it? Seems like.
No. Everybody's just chill, having a good time. I mean. And pretty much at that point, as O'Toole's, you know, deep in her cups.
Very deep.
Very deep.
I'm so deep. I'm like far into the cups.
She's rolling in the deep.
That is a good place to wrap it up there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was young too. I'm like,
what
time is it?
Every day, dungeons are forced to euthanize adventurers because the cost to provide urgent or ongoing clerical health care is too high. A stray adventurer may be brought in with a broken leg, or a halfling is surrendered because it swallowed something and requires surgery that the family cannot afford. Your donation of just a few copper pieces a day can make a difference in our podcast's life and keep us making content for you. Please, check out our Patreon site at patreon.com/cppn to help us, even if it's just $1 a month. Every copper helps. Your support for the CPPN is greatly appreciated.
Thank you for listening to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition, a member of the Creative Play and Podcast Network. And remember, be careful out there. There be dragons about.
Okay, so probably no opening should happen soon.
Alright.
Mm-hmm. Everybody got everything? P's and D's,
good to go.
Eyeballs working. Dice, drinks, you stole my caffeine.
Yeah.
You're just taking your 50% from the bottle.
I had a tiny step.
Remember, adventurers, always give you a prenuptial contract in your adventuring party. She'll divorce you and take your head. She wanted her 50% off the top.
Oh, no. That one with the Slim Jims, right?
You did get a Slim Jim?
Yeah, I had it.
Okay.
Important.
Arlene was excited that there was one.
That is exciting.
Okay, so, just trying to move this plastic bag because I will keep fidgeting with it. It's loud.
Get it out of your system.
By the way, for the record, I found out there's a cute trick for the cameras. If you want to get that glowy, smeary effect, rather than rubbing Vaseline on your lens and purposely jacking it up, cellophane over your camera. Take the picture. If it's really tight against the lens, it blurs and hazes.
Okay, cool.
So as long as you're focused on a person, it's got this haze.
Huh.
Been doing too much photography stuff.
I have a magnifying trick that I will share with you when you're not trying to
make a podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to be good right now.
Okay. I'll get back on track myself. Okay.
Drink your beer, ready, jug. Rice. That's what I'm doing.
She's making pure honey in that chemical jug.
Rice, because apparently honey sells.
Honey's gold.
Well, I was figuring you'd get hopped up on the sugar and go running through the barren valley. Okay. So we're ready?
Maybe.
Just remember. Blood flowing.
Can you give me a player's handbook?
She's not ready.
Well, no, I just realized I'm using spells again, so I really should have a better understanding. Oh, it's
confusing, the spells.
I love it.
Oh.
We all know that.
I know. Aren't you like a...
Oh, you're
a sorcerer.
Yes. I am a born sorcerer.
Do you have the ranger's
things dangerous.
No?
No.
I'll hold it in your pink bag.
But we can carry the book.
You had that in with your other character that you just switched off of.
Yes, probably.
Like, for reals, man.
For reals, yo.
Circle of life.
Yeah, man.
Circle.
No,
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Rihanna. Saucy. Think saucy.
Right. I'm Irish. Saucy. I drink lots of beer.
Saucy debauchery.
Right. I'm going to set my There's a collection of dice up in my usual OCD presentation. So,
do we need another picture of your OCD collection?
I thought I already took one.
You did. It was posted. That was for the holiday, the one before the holiday one. Oh, did you guys listen to Fortune Lore, by the way?
I've not listened to all of it. I've listened to some of it. It was funny.
You should share it with the guys. It's fucking awesome. We were fucking hilarious and we were fucking drunk.
We were super drunk. There were some moments I'm like, I didn't realize quite how completely trashed we all were already at that point.
And then comes the Cards Against Humanity part, which is like 3 fucking hours.
Yeah.
We played Cards Against Humanity for 3 fucking hours.
Yeah.
I didn't believe it was that long until I hit import, and it was 3 hours of information. I'm like, oh my god. I'm thinking I should break it into parts.
Yeah, or, you know, just share some highlights, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
there's a lot that needs to be cut. Mark's here.
Aha.
Uh-huh. It's like, no, there's not a fight going on out there. It's Mark.
What the hell is going on?
Well, we're ready.
Yes.
We're steady.
Yes.
We're adventurers in a heart full of world full of chaos and death and destruction.
Woo! Murder hobos!
Woohoo!
We're Riona, cool little Irish dwarf chick with jugs. Mighty, mighty jugs.
Jugs of doom.
We're...
and a ladle of doom.
Ladle of doom.
Jugs of shenaniganry.
Yes.
I like that. Nice. You might have to look for a really good word.
What was your dragonborn sorcerer's name? Because I forgot.
Kriv.
I know this name.
It's also written right here.
Yes, but I don't want to like, peek in your sheet. I'm not a peeker.
No.
Talon, right?
Yep.
Not a peeker.
Yeah, T-A-L-L-Y-N.
Sister Solace.
Sister Solace.
May she bring you solace.
May the light of
Pelor. Okay, so you're ready. We're steady. We've got our accents.
We're grands.
And I'm?
Everyone else.
Fantastic.
I'm the blade of grass. You just stepped on me. I roll 1d4 damage. Circle of life, man. Circle of life.
Whoa, man.
Oh, picture of the OCD dice.
Right. Yeah.
Nice. All right.
What's that true OCD? You didn't color code it.
Yet.
Don't.
Now you've just pointed that out.
I know,
out.
See,
now
you go over there.
Okay, so I was just about to do the opening, and that's what she comes up with.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's okay, though. It's okay.
I'm right here. I'm Irish.
And this is why you're unpaid talent.
It's true.
Well, we're unpaid. I don't know if I'm very talented.
Oh, you're talented.
And now she's fixing the colors.
Also true.
And she'll need another photograph of them in color coordinating.
Also true.
Okay, so welcome back to D&D Journey of the 5th Edition. It has been a while. We've survived the holidays.